Psalm 93, 94, 95, and 96 even do not have titles, so we're just having generic songs this morning. Doesn't say it's from David or those kind of introductions that you see in small print usually right under the psalm. This particular psalm, the short one, Psalm 93, I see as a launch coming out of Psalm 92, verse 8. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. God being high above everything, that kind of is expounded on in Psalm 93. There will be situations in your life when you realize this is true, that God is higher than the situation. God is higher than the circumstance. Psalm 93, the Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods have lifted up their waves. James shared about a verse, a promise to bring us out of anxiety from Philippians 4 there. And this is talking about that. There's going to be a couple of verses that relate to anxious thoughts, anxiety, the situations and circumstances on this earth that make feel like floods. It feels like a lot of noise and waters around us. Scary times. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lifted up their waves. Verse 4, though, brings us to the place where the Lord is higher than that. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Yes, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becomes thine house, O Lord, forever. Praise God. We saw that this morning already. Holiness becomes thy house. To hear people share from the Word, to see a junior going into being a senior in high school stand up and help us lead into worship this morning. This becomes the house. It's the beauty of the Lord. It becometh thine house. It's beautiful. The testimonies are very sure. Holiness becomes thine house. To hear someone give thanks this morning, to hear a praise report, to hear those kind of things, it becomes thine house, O Lord, forever. It adorns his house. Moving on to Psalm 94, we're going to continue to expound on this. You know, the Word of God is like that. It's like a room. You open a door and you step in a room, and it has to do with the truth of God, and you find out that room is filled with more doors. And you just keep opening them, and you keep discovering things in the kingdom of God that are awesome. So taking that one verse in verse 8 from Psalm 92, that the Lord is most high forevermore, what does that mean to Jack? What does that mean to Roger? What does that mean to Maddie? Psalm 93 brings us into the place that, hey, there could be times that it feels like we're drowning in anxious thoughts. We're drowning in a situation. And there's situations that God will have our eyes to get off of the situation onto him, and we'll rise above it. Psalm 94 is continuing to break that out in the struggle of whatever the psalmist is writing about. We're not sure. But obviously a struggle having to do with people. Last night was a interesting time for New York City. Is anybody down there? They had a major blackout in Manhattan. And there hasn't been one in 40-some years a major blackout of this size and magnitude. The last one was in 1977, and it didn't go so well. There was 1,000 different fires lit during that time, and stores smashed, and there was 400-some police officers that were injured. That's a lot. That's an insane time from just the power going out. Last night, it happened again, 6 o'clock late in the day, and it went on till about midnight, and there wasn't hardly any of that. That's a reason to give thanks and praise. It really is. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, show thyself. looking forward to hearing testimonies now that have heard the news, CNN, and you know, what took place with those people that were stuck in the subways, what took place with those people that were stuck in elevators even. You can imagine that on a very hot day. I'm looking forward to hearing the testimonies because I know there are some. I know there are believers down there. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. And that verse 1 is bringing us to that place. It's in the Old Covenant. It's in the New Covenant. God has not changed. That vengeance belongs to Him. In difficult situations, in trials, we know that God is the one that is going to bring vengeance. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? A question going to God. You'll see that all through the Psalms here. You see it all through the Scripture. People questioning God. God, what's going on with my life? God, what's going on? I seem to be in a lot of trouble here. I'm being pursued. How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, the foreigner, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. One thing that has developed in time since the 40 years ago, the blackout in New York City, is that there's cameras everywhere. There's cameras everywhere. In fact, in the same news broadcast recently, there was a announcement of a man that tried to light a synagogue on fire, a Jewish synagogue. He had a hatred towards the Jews, and that the flame came shooting right back out and torched the guy's face and his hair. And it was literally like one of those funny movies where your hair's standing up and it's smoldering. Well, that's what he was, kind of stumbling down the street with that look, but everything backfired on him. But that was also in the news. And that was also on cameras. They're everywhere these days. So people realize they're being watched. But how much more should we realize that there's the God cam going on, even in more places, even in your secret places? The God cam is going. Even in the secret places of your thoughts, the God cam is going. God sees and knows everything. He's omniscient. This is part of God's nature, isn't that? He's prying into your privacy. He can't help it. He's omniscient. He knows everything. So the God cam is always rolling on. And He knows what's going on in our lives and even our very thoughts. And this is what's happening in verse 7. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand in verse 8, ye brutish among the people, ye fools, when will you be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chasteneth the heathen, shall he not correct? In verse 10, he that teaches man knowledge, shall he not know? The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. So there you have the proof and text that God even be, I mean, a lot of times it took a year to prosecute this guy, and that's what was on the news. He finally got his just due. He's going to go to jail and so forth for the fire he lit. But even with that evidence of the cameras, they had to dig into the motives. They had to, like, well, we're not sure. We've got this, you know, it's a little bit blurry or this kind of things. And I was recently on jury duty for a week and a half of grueling evidence of just picture after picture and just being very careful with what everybody says and not assuming anything and being so meticulous. But the Lord here, we see in verse 11, the Lord knows even the thoughts of man. And we saw that with Jesus, that He could perceive the thoughts and intents of the hearts even before they were speaking. Or while they were speaking, they were saying one thing, but He could perceive their hearts. They were thinking another. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. So quite often, we are caught up in this place called vanity of thought. Vanity is a word, I always go to this description for it. If you're in the grocery store and you see an expiration date on the bologna or an expiration date on the eggs or the milk or whatever, it's something that's not going to last. It's just like, it's superficial, it's not worth much. You know, it has a temporary nature to it, vanity. So vanity is even more about that. It's just like something of useless. So a lot of useless thoughts. So bringing that around to what James was sharing this morning about this flood, about the things that go on in our thought life of anxious thoughts, that would be one example of thoughts that are vanity. It's just, they're no good. They're useless to worry about things. And Jesus would address that directly by saying, stop worrying about tomorrow, it'll take care of itself. Worry about right now and seek ye first the kingdom of God, in fact. Verse 12, blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teaches him out of the law. We see that in Hebrews 12 repeated, that God corrects. He spanks Jack, he spanks Paul, that's me. He spanks all of us. He corrects us because he loves us. If he didn't, he wouldn't love us. And that's awesome. I'm glad when I'm corrected, and it's painful, it's humbling, but I'm glad that we go through those times, and they are necessary. So that happens quite often in our lives. It's not like you arrive at a certain point and you stop needing that correction. It's all through our life. So don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged as you go through your life, and you might be 99 years old and you're still being corrected. You still can be corrected by God. You're still a babe in diapers at 99 compared to this everlasting God. Blessed is the man who is corrected of the Lord. Verse 12, then verse 13, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. The promises of God right here, you see one in the scripture, there's hundreds and hundreds of them. God wants us to latch on to these things. That's part of our faith. We hear these promises of God. We believe on them. Faith is produced. That's what faith is. And this is one of them right here in verse 14, that he will not forsake him. He will not forsake us. We see that all through the scripture. Those that follow him, those that believe in the Lord, that trusted their life with God, he will not forsake them, his inheritance. So that's a promise of God, and it's interesting where that comes from, where it's resourced, the strength of that. You ever heard of the phrase pie crust promise? We make promises as people that are easily made, might do it off the cuff, like, oh, I promise, I won't, you know, I promise I will. And those are pie crust promises. They're easily made. You can make a pie real easy, easily broken. You know, the promises of man. The promises of God are not breakable. And so what are they resourced in? It certainly isn't a pie crust. What's the promises of God? What are they staked in? We look at the cross in this particular case, in the example. Jesus was forsaken. In fact, he would cry that from the cross. God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken. Jesus was, so James doesn't have to be. So I don't have to be. So Maddie doesn't have to be. So this promise can be on sure ground of him being forsaken. It's amazing that these words aren't just frivolous words that are thrown out, or I promise I'll be there, or I promise, that these words are really sourced in blood. You really think about it, it's pretty incredible. The blood of God. I don't think that's going to be broken. Verses 15 through 18, more on this rising above. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all of the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Who's going to come to my defense? Unless the Lord had been my help, My soul had almost dwelt in silence. In other words, died, I'm done. When I said, my foot slips, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. My rooster gave up the ghost this morning, had a tangle with a fox, did a great job. No hens were taken, but he looked really bad. And they fight with their talons. They rear up and they fight with their talons. Mindy heard the fight going on. She got in the van and went out there, put her lights on the chicken coop, and there was feathers everywhere, blood going all over the place, and a fox is screaming like it does. Quite a sight. And then the next morning, which was this morning, you know, he was standing there all day yesterday after the event, but this morning he finally just fell. He just fell. But a cute little story from the homestead there, from verse 17. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence or died. You know, you've been beat up. You feel the floods rising, the anxious thoughts. You feel like you're going to die in those situations. This is where we reach for the higher rock, the higher ground where God is on. This is the promise that we all have before us, that there's higher ground. There is. There's higher ground in every situation. Believe that. When you're in a situation, don't feel like you're drowning, that you've got to stay in that place of, I'm drowning. Reach for the higher ground. It's there. God promises a way of escape. He promises higher ground, and it can come in all sorts of ways. Let's see what it fashion it comes in as this rolls out here. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. It just fell off. When I said, my foot slips, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. There's the anxiety again. There's the rat cage going on inside of our mind. He said this, or she looked at me this way. What did they mean by that? In the multitude of my thoughts, spinning like a rat in a cage, within me thy comforts delight my soul. In that process, I need to reach for higher ground. It's there. It is there for the believer. God will not forsake us. There's always higher ground to move to in these situations. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frames mischief by a law? This verse 20 connects back to verse 15. Judgment shall return unto righteousness. There's laws in our land that are changing, that are adapting, that aren't very favorable to the believer. Laws being passed that were very grievous, even in New York State this past year. Here's another promise. And it comes in verse 15, judgment shall return unto righteousness. The giving of law, God will take that into account. The throne of iniquity, having fellowship with God, is not going to have lasting value. Framing mischief by law. It's one thing when you have people that violate law, you have people that are doing bad things. That's one thing, we understand that. But when you have the law itself being corrupt, and the law itself has gone corrupt, where are we as a people, as a nation, as a state? Praise God that judgment shall return unto righteousness. God will see that through. So in your hopeless despair when these things happen, believe that God is not sleeping. They gather themselves against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. That was particularly one of the items that was passed this fall, and you see a bunch of people clapping. The state legislators gathered together, clapping for the decision that was made regarding partial birth abortion and things of that nature. Condemning the innocent blood, there it is in verse 21. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. How much more innocent can someone get or helpless? But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. God gives us a rock to stand on, but it's always higher ground. It's higher ground than the sinking mire of the waters that surround us. The Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yes, the Lord, our God, shall cut them off. In this particular psalm, I want to focus on verse 19 here and go to a few different places if you want to turn with me to Matthew 11. Having to do with the multitude of our thoughts and getting victory in the thought life, that God comforts us. Matthew 11, verse 28. We're going to look at three verses. We're going to move forward from Matthew. We'll look at Jesus being that comfort. Romans is going to tell us about the scriptures being that comfort. And 2 Corinthians is going to talk about the church being that comfort. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. I want to pray each one of these verses. I sense a spiritual attack this morning and a few different fronts, Lord God. So I want to pray these verses. If you're sensing that, you can pray along with me or just join me in praying the word right now for his body here, for the believers that are with us and children out back. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Father God, we believe that rest is right there. That's the higher ground, Lord God, that promise that Jesus bore on his shoulders. The burden that he bore was to give us rest, that we'd have peace with you, Lord God. We believe, Lord Jesus Christ, above everything else, above the turmoil of this world, above wickedness, Lord God, the things that are done in the halls of legislature and the things that are done outside, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God, that you are above all of these things, that your dominion and domain, Lord God, rise above that. We lay a hold of that now by believing, Lord Jesus Christ, that we're in this place of rest with you, that our true Sabbath is with you. Hallelujah. Let's continue to turn to Romans 15, continue to turn to the right. Acts, Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written before, were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. The patience and comfort of the Scriptures. What do we see in the Scripture when we read the Bible? We see a man, a woman struggling with the things that we struggle with. We see victory coming into their life. We see failure, but God picking them up. We see the pathway that God would have us go called humility. We see a wonderful, awesome, powerful God that would lower himself to a place in a stinky manger to save you and me and take our very sin onto himself. Through the patience and comfort of Scriptures that we might have hope. Thank you for your word, Lord God. I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, we have an abundance of that in this country. We have abundance of resources, of teachers out there, or YouTube, glorious, all over the place. There should be no excuse for us not to be bathing into this word of God, bathing in his comfort, to take the bubble bath, to have the comfort of your Scriptures, Lord, all the time. We're so tensed up and so tight and so ready to explode, Lord God, but you'd have us to be comforted in your Scriptures, to get in the bath, to be bathed in these words. Lord God, stir in our heart, Lord God, those doors we're to walk in, Lord God. Direct us to the places, Lord God, that are teaching your word, whether it's on the media, Lord God, or the churches, Lord Jesus, we pray that it would increase in our life and our hunger for that would increase. In Jesus' name. Let's continue to turn to the right to 2 Corinthians. Next book over is 1 Corinthians. Then you got 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Have you ever thought of God as the God of all comfort before? Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Did anybody not hear the word comfort in that verse? I like to read it fast. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those that are in any trouble, but by the comfort we ourselves are comforted by God. Do you get the clue that God wants us not to be all messed up with anxiety? That's not the pathway that God would have us on. When you're there, and you will be there, maybe even today, you'll be in a place of anxiety because something's happening. The siren's going off. Someone's laying on the street. Something's going down. You have a place you can reach in the craziest of moments. You can reach for higher ground. God has given us this comforter called the Holy Spirit. It's a gift from God. How much more, he says, will the Father give you, not a new this or a new that, but the Holy Spirit. What we really need as fearful individuals, as fearful creatures of humanity, we need this comforter working within us. We need the comfort of scriptures. We need the comfort of the church, encouraging each other, hearing each other speak the word, giving thanks and praise and testimony. And we need the comfort of Christ, that by his stripes we are healed. We have peace with God. We can turn back to our Psalms there. We'll spend our last few minutes here in Psalm 95 because from this place of comfort and rest, worship flows. Do you know why you're on this earth? Well, to be a car mechanic. No. Well, to be a dad or a mom. No. Those are all subordinate, temporary things to a greater calling in your life. Can you imagine living your whole life and never coming to that place of knowing why you're here? Just going from one thing to the next. You've been called into a place of being a worshiper of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. Every creature that's been created by God, even the rocks would cry out if we didn't. You've been called to be a worshiper of God. That's not only in singing, folks. That's by laying down your life, husbands, for your wives. Wives, that's by submitting to the husbands when it's really hard. Being a worshiper of God. Even dying for him. There's brochures on the back table. There's people dying for the Lord Jesus Christ, even today, as we speak. Someone's breathing their last, then entering into glory, breathing in the presence of God, which is much more glorious than this crummy air. You were created to be a worshiper of God, to know him by name, which the stars can't know, which the beaver can't. The woodchuck certainly can't, or the turkey clucking. You know the Lord by name and can converse with him face to face in prayer. It seems silly sometimes to pray. It's like, God, why should I pray? Until you come to the realization that he wants to spend time with you. That he wants to get to know you and you to know him. The scariest verse in the scripture is where Jesus says, I never knew you. even though he's omniscient and he knows everything that you've ever done and everything about you in that context. But he's never known you. What's he talking about? Face-to-face intimacy with God, spending time with him just because. Not a laundry list, not to resolve an issue, not to find an answer, just to spend time with God. Intimacy with God and knowing him is a form of worship, as perhaps the highest form. God, I'm just here with you right now, Lord. Speak to me. Lead me in your scripture. Show me, Lord God, something. I'm here listening, God. I want to spend time with you. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 95 begins. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. That ties back to Psalm 92. It's a good thing. Remember that teaching? To give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. That's real easy. I don't know what to say to the Lord. I don't know what to say. It's awkward. Just start thanking him. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, thank you that I had food this morning. Lord, thank you. Lord, come before his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, lowercase g, and his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is also his. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the days of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Speaking of the time in the desert of Israel traveling through. This is not God's plan for you and me. His plan is to provide a Savior, to provide a lamb, an innocent lamb, sacrifice for you and me, God the Son, coming to this earth. We're closing now in prayer. Close your eyes and just be before God in his presence. Allow your heart to start thanking him now. Lord, thank you that I have a house over my head. Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that I have a church here. Lord, thank you that there is water. We were speaking of that just this morning. Lord, thank you for the water that's in our homes, that we could take a shower whenever we want to, that we could drink a cold glass of water, Lord God. Thank you for being our rest, Lord God, for every anxious thought I've had, that you took that on the cross. I can't even understand or begin to understand that. Every time that I've gone astray, gone into the wrong direction and thinking dark thoughts, you took those on the cross. There's higher ground on the cross of Jesus Christ. I simply believe that God already worried about this for me. He's already taken care of this for me. He would compare the birds and he'd compare the flowers in the field to the anxious thoughts that we have. That God the Father will be our supplier and provision. He wants to be. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. I pray and give into your hand the rest of this day, Lord. The appointments that we have, maybe even a smile to a stranger, a conversation, Lord God. you would bring sweetness of your salvation, and the gospel would just flow, Lord, from our lips. Thank you for this time that we've had today. We pray for those traveling, Lord Jesus Christ, for mercies around them. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Enjoy the day.